Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to look again at Mark 11, verses 22 through 24, and really get into understanding what the prayer of faith is all about. In these scriptures, we read the following. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto a mountain, Be removed, and be cast into a sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which he declares shall come to pass, that person shall have whatever they say. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." The promise of answer to prayer is one of the most wonderful lessons in all of Scripture. But how many of our hearts truly raise the question when hearing these words, "How is it that I can ever attain to the faith that knows that it will receive whatever it asks?" Our Lord answers this question before he gave this wonderful promise to his disciples. He told of where faith had the answer to prayer and where it begins and always receives its strength. The key is having faith in God. This word precedes everything else that he has to say in this particular scripture about the promise of an answer to prayer. The power to believe a promise depends entirely on faith in the one who made the promise. This is something a lot of the Word of Faith teachers really miss when they're talking about faith, because they always talk about how you have faith in faith, blah, 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 or you believe and receive because that's the way it works for you. But they miss the whole having faith in God. And they kind of miss this, and you can kind of hear it when they talk about Romans 4, because they'll talk about Abraham's faith and how he was able to call those things that be not as though they were, and miss the point that Abraham wasn't the one calling the things that be not as though they were. He was having faith in God, a God who raises the dead and calls things into existence. This is the reality of the faith Abraham exhibited. In fact, if you go further in Romans chapter 4, you'll find it, Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. He believed in God. Faith is truly a heart's confidence in another person, in God, in his truthfulness. When we pray the act of faith, one of the things that we say in the act of faith is that we believe all the things that the Catholic Church teaches, because God does not deceive nor is deceived, and he's the one that's revealed it to us through the Church. I mean, that's pretty much how the act of faith works. So trust in the person is what arouses trust in the Word. So trust in God arouses trust in his Word. It's only when we live with God in a personal loving relationship, where God himself is truly everything to us, only when our entire being is continually opened up and exposed to the mighty working of God's holy presence, will there ever be the ability for us to completely believe what he gives to us in prayer, and to truly believe that we will have whatever we ask. So it's going back to that whole lesson that I started out with about being a branch on the vine and really experiencing God in a relationship situation, not just as an external whatever, but as a true relationship, one where you're really relating to him as an individual. The connection between faith in God and faith in his promises becomes clear when we think of what faith really is. Often it is compared to the hand or a mouth by which we take or appropriate what's offered to us. But it is important to understand that faith is also an ear by which I hear what is promised, and the eye by which I see what is offered to me. On this, we really get the idea of what faith really is, because I must first hear the person who gives me the promise. The very tone of their voice will give me courage to believe or in some cases, if they speak a certain way, give me the real cause to doubt what they're saying to me. Because I must see the person in the light of their actions and body language. All my fear would fade away if I really perceive that individual as telling me the truth and being a calm person. I mean, I can think of different people that I've met over the years that have had bad relationships, and you can kind of tell that they have kind of these walls up where they're not going to let people really hurt them anymore. Most abused individuals, whether they be children, women, or whoever, they have protection walls up, and they don't trust as easily as other people. But they do watch a person's body language. They do pay attention to how they act around them, and they listen to the words. So this here kind of shows us that there's a certain confidence that does come by having a personal relationship. I mean, everything about Christianity is not so much a religion as there is a relationship. And especially when it comes to answers to prayer, it's about the relationship we have with God. Because if we don't have the faith in God first, there's no mountain that gets moved in our life. There is no answer to prayer that truly does come. There's a whole lot of people that walk in the churches that don't really experience what the Mass or any liturgy is about, because they're not experiencing it as a fellowship with the individual that they come to be a part of. They're only looking to get something, and that's kind of a poor relationship for anybody. But if you really understand how the relationship works, you really get an idea that when you really see what the other person has, how they react, you really get into the value of the promise, because you start seeing that the promise and the result of the promise depends entirely upon the one who made the promise. You begin to trust God like you would trust a spouse, or you would trust a child, or you would trust an individual that you know well and you really understand how they're going to react. It is for this reason that before Jesus gives a very wonderful prayer promise about how all prayer has an answer, especially the prayer of faith, he first declares, have faith in God. A very key, important part. So you need to let your eyes be open, really gaze upon and really perceive who God is, and really understand him in a way that you really honestly perceive him. A lot of people who run around that are atheists do so because they don't perceive God. They don't see him in their everyday life. And it's kind of in this way that the examined prayer that St. Ignatius talks about is a very good way of being able to reflect upon your daily life and really see the hand of God in your life, really see the invisible hand of God, and really get into the kind of perception that is able to believe. Because when you truly believe, that you open up and receive and rejoice in the overshadowing of God's love as it touches you every moment of your life, that you really begin to see with faith how God shows who he is and what he can truly do. And it's through faith that the light of this particular relationship of God works out his mighty power in your own soul, where you really actually experience God in your life. And this is something that every person really desires. But because they don't understand prayer, because they don't understand religion as a relationship, and that's kind of the big key. A lot of people try to separate religion and relationship like they're two separate things. But in reality, your relationship with God is a religion. Your relationship with a spouse is, in a sense, a religion. It's how you bind yourself to the other person. It's how you connect to somebody else. Because that's really what the word religion really means. It's just applied in a specific category about how you relate to God or to a divine being or to a supernatural being rather than or to a supernatural force, depending upon what type of religion you have, than it does toward another person. It does show in the relationships that you have with another person, because there's always, in every religious perspective, not just how you relate to the divinity or to the divine power or whatever it is that you see as the supernatural force, but also shows how you relate to one another. So religion does have a relationship aspect and needs to be emphasized as a relationship and not set aside as a set rule of laws and such that people miss. Because it's only when we see how God truly lives for, with, in, and through you as a branch on the vine that you really experience what faith can truly be in that particular God. Faith is an ear through which it hears the voice of God and experiences the intimacy by which faith can truly be maintained. If you never hear your spouse tell you he loves you or that they care about you or that they're really wanting the best for you or supporting you, you'll never have the kind of faith that comes from that particular kind of relationship. It is through the Holy Spirit that our Heavenly Father speaks to us. The Son is the Word, the substance of what God Himself says. The Spirit is that living voice. And in all cases, the child of God needs this in order to be truly led and guided by God. The secret voice from heaven must teach, as it is taught of Jesus in these particular prayer lessons, as to what to say and what to do. An ear open to God, a believing heart waiting on Him to hear what He has to say, will hear Him speak. This is kind of a lesson that we talked about a couple weeks ago when I was talking about being led by the Spirit of God and understanding the points of being led, like, you know, having the Word as a primary place in your life, really experiencing the full revelation of God, not just reading a Bible and trying to understand it on your own, but understanding it in the community of the saints that have gone on before, that deposit of faith that we were once given, as Jude talks about, really understanding the place of the church in being that bulwark and security of faith as Scripture talks about. You know, all you got to do is do a Google search and you'll find, hey, the church is actually the thing that tells us what the truth is versus what lies are, and really help us to understand the Word of God. We know this because when you have a dispute with a brother, yeah, you go to him first. If they don't listen to you, bring two witnesses. But after you brought the two witnesses, the third entity that you go to is the church. The church has the ability to mandate what is to be believed and not believed, or to judiciize a situation and really decide what goes on. And this is something that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when he talked about the Father and the Son having issues where they were, one of them was having an illicit relationship with the other's wife, and how that person should have been judged by the church and put out like a heathen and such, actually using the binding and loosening that was put in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, when it says that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is. The reason why that is because He just got done telling you that when you have a dispute, go to the church and listen to the church. And if the church decides to cast them out, treat them like a heretic, basically. And we see this power being used in Acts 15 when the church decides on the issue of circumcision. It was a decision that was made from the top down because a council was actually brought together and such. And if we're truly listening to the voice of God, we will understand the voice of the church. It's not a rejection of that voice. There is a need for us to hear that voice and truly walk with that voice. Because if we really understand God and really listen to Him, we will understand that the words of God are not the words of a mere book, a mere Bible, something that we have to understand ourselves. But we understand that the words of God are something that proceeds from the mouth of God and are true spirit and truth, life and power, that they truly transform into a deed and a living experience that are otherwise only thoughts, and really gets beyond the whole Protestant sola scriptura understanding. Because even in that, if you really boil it down, sola scriptura rejects the authority of the church and makes you an individual pope of your own, which basically says, I'm going to listen to what somebody says, but I'm going to decide how that is to be understood. I'm not really listening to them to get the full meaning of what they're telling me. Because we're supposed to have an open ear, having a soul that is waiting for the influence of the life and power of God themselves, and really understanding these words as they enter our hearts and minds and dwell and work there, so that faith in God can enter into our lives and really work in us. It's when faith is in full exercise as an eye and an ear, as a faculty of the soul by which we can see and hear God, that we will be able to exercise the full power of God in the sense of being a hand or a mouth, by which we appropriate God and His blessings. The power of reception is dependent entirely upon the power of spiritual perception. For this reason, before Jesus gives a promise that God would answer any believing prayer, He declares this first: have faith in God. And you've heard me in the last couple of weeks really thump the have faith in God part of this, because we have to understand the actual relationship we're called to. Because faith is simply a surrender. By faith, I yield myself entirely to the living God because of what I hear and learn about Him, both from Scripture and the Magisterium of the Church. I'm not limiting my understanding to my own understanding. I trust not in my own understanding. I lean not unto my own thoughts and mind, but I actually listen to what God has to say and what He has declared in both the oral tradition that the Church teaches, because it's the bulwark of faith, the actual security of faith, the foundation upon which everything builds, the rock upon which Christ has built His church. Think about that. He's built His church. And He puts a special blessing upon those who hear the ministry of those in the church as representatives of Him, as ambassadors of Him. Because He's prayed in that prayer that we find in John 17, that there's a blessing upon those who hear those who preach the gospel. In fact, you go even further into Romans chapter 10. It says, blessed are the feet of them, because how can anyone believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless there be someone sent to tell them? It's not talking about a Bible, it's talking about a church. The church is where you get faith. That is the word that is nigh unto you, even in your mouth, even in your heart. You don't have to go search it out. It's there for you. So faith simply surrenders to this. Faith is also a fellowship. When you give yourself up to the influence of a friend who makes a promise, you become linked to that person. When we enter into a living relationship with God Himself in faith that always sees and hears Him, it becomes easy and natural to believe His promise concerning prayer. Faith is the promise of the fruit of truly living in a relationship with the one who gives the promise. The prayer of faith is rooted in the life of faith, so that faith that prays effectively is indeed a gift of God and not something that He bestows or infuses into us that we use without Him. This is a very important part to really understand. And it's something that I think that when you listen to men like Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Casey Price or any of the other Word of Faith preachers, that they miss the fact that your faith alone is not the bedrock of who you are in God and Christ. It's your relationship. So you really have to have this relationship, because in a very true and far deeper and truer sense, your attitude of faith and the habit of your soul is something that grows out of a life of communion with God. Just think about that for a minute. How can you truly have the faith to move a mountain if you don't have faith in God to move that mountain? How can Abraham believe that God would make him a father of many nations, as Romans chapter 4 is trying to point out, if he did not have the relationship with God that James says made him a friend of God? You have to have the relationship first. The relationship is key. We have to really get into the relationship aspect and not a legalism. A real relationship, one where there's a give and take. I mean, this is really important. This here is something where we really know our Father's will because we live in a constant and close relationship with Him. It is simply a matter of believing the promise that God desires to do certain things because you are a child who lives with Him in close union. I mean, you really got to get this, that the relationship is the key to faith. It is because of the very many children of God who do not understand the connection between the life of faith and the prayer of faith, that they have an experience of prayer that is extremely limited, to where they go around telling you that sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says maybe, sometimes He says this, sometimes He says that. It's because they don't have the full relationship that truly gets into the full power of God as it ought to be. And therefore, they earnestly desire to obtain an answer to God. They fix their whole heart upon a promise, but they don't grasp the full blessing that the promise is supposed to be. And when they don't succeed, when they get the no's or the maybes or the whatevers, and they don't understand what they're supposed to do, they give up. The promise is true, even though it's beyond their ability to really understand the full blessing and holding on to that promise. Because Jesus teaches having faith in God, the living God, is the key. If we truly look to God more than we look to the thing promised, God's love, power, and His living presence will awaken in us and build up in us the kind of faith that can truly receive from Him. To the one asking for some means to get some more strength in his arms or hands to be able to seize upon and hang upon things, the physician would say that the whole ability of the person must be strengthened and built up. I mean, for you to be able to lift a 200-pound weight, you have to have the capacity in your arms and legs and body to be able to do it. The cure for feeble unbelief is only found in realizing that your whole entire spiritual life needs to be brought about in a true relationship with God. Because to learn to believe in God, to take hold of God, and to let His promises and let Him take possession of your life is something that really gives you the true blessing of the prayer of faith. Because when you truly know and trust God, you find it easy to trust in the promise as well. This is demonstrated clearly in the saints of old. Every special exhibit of power of prayer and how faith works and everything is seen in the revelation of God. Because if we look at Abraham, we're going to turn again, and I just really want to get this here. Looking at Abraham, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham saying, "Do not fear. I am your shield. I have brought you from abroad, and I have said this and this." And then he believed God. And then later it says, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "I am God Almighty." And Abraham fell on his faith, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you." The revelation that God gives of Himself is the promise and is the living source of prayer that enters into your heart and builds faith. Because you know God, and because they know God, the men of faith in the old, just like you, can truly trust in His promise. God's promises are for those who really understand who God is as an individual Himself. The man who walks before God and falls upon their face while listening to the living God speaking unto them will be the one who truly receives the promise. Though we have God's promises in the Bible and the full liberty to take them, the spiritual power that's lacking is lacking because we don't really hear God speak to us. We really don't hear the voice of our Father. He speaks to those who walk and live with Him. Therefore, to have faith, we need to have faith be an eye and an ear, because it's only then that we can surrender and let God reveal Himself entirely to our soul so that we can truly be one who really exercises faith in God as a living and mighty God who waits to fulfill in us all the good pleasure of His will and truly work in us the faith that has true results. When we see Him as the God of love who delights in blessing and imparting to us Himself, we will truly find the answer to this promise that all things, whatever we ask, we can believe that we receive. Because it's in faith that God makes us His own. when we truly experience the promises, we become more who God wants us to be in life. Jesus teaches us that although we seek God's gifts, God wants to give us first and foremost Himself. When we think of prayer as the power to draw down the gifts from heaven, Jesus wants us to find in prayer the ladder in which we bring ourselves into the presence of God. We need to stand at the door and cry, but Jesus would have us first enter and realize that we are friends and children. It's only until we accept this teaching and really let every experience of our life grow in the littleness of our faith and urge us to have and exercise more faith in a living God, it's only then that such faith will truly produce the result that prayer is really designed for, which is yielding ourselves to God. Because once our heart is full of God, in this sense, we will have the power to pray in faith. Faith in God begins as faith in a promise, but it's in the promise of an answer to prayer as a child of God. And this is very important, because if we're truly to be children of God, we need to take the time to bow before Him, wait before Him, let Him reveal Himself. We need to take the time to let our souls experience the holy awe and really worship and experience the true expression of faith in an infinite God, to really see Him as the one who calls those things that be not as though they were. Because it's only then that God can impart Himself to us and truly take possession of us, so that the prayer of faith will truly be the crowning achievement of our life of faith in God. So let us pray. Oh my God, I do believe in You. I believe in You as the Father, infinite in Your love and power. And as Your Son, my Redeemer and my life, You give to me the Holy Spirit, a comforter and guide who is my strength. My triune, three in one God, I have faith in You. I know and I am sure that all that You are to me, that all You have promised, You will perform. Lord Jesus, increase this faith. Take me and teach me to wait and to worship in this holy presence of You and Your Father and the Holy Spirit until my faith takes in all that there is of my God for me. Let me see You as the fountain of all my life, working with almighty power to accomplish Your will in the world and in me. Let my faith see my God and know His loving longing that desires to meet and fulfill everything that I need in life. Let me really be so taken possession of by You, so that my heart and life will truly experience the faith that God alone is my solution to every situation in life. Lord Jesus, help me. With my whole heart, I want to believe in God. Let my faith in God every moment fill me with the relationship that is possible through You. Oh, my blessed Savior, how can Your church glorify You? How can it fulfill the work of intercession through which Your kingdom can truly come unless our entire lives be lives of faith in You, our true God? Speak the word to Your disciples so that we will hear it in the depths of our soul and that we may truly believe that if we asked whatever we asked in prayer, especially these petitions today, to really have a relationship with You, that we will experience them, that we will have them, and that we possess them in You, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hopefully today's message helps you a little bit more in your walk with God and really opens up to you the true blessing of having a relationship with God, not just a religion, but a relationship where you can truly glorify God and experience His blessing. So have a blessed day.